Welcome to Hellas Footy Pod, episode number 5. As usual, I'm your host, George. Got a bit of things to get through with the Ethniki, so let's get started. Antoni, how are you?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, good, mate. Greg?
Doing great. Can't wait to get into it.
Microphone's working.
Everything's good. That word gives me shivers.
Michael, what's happening, mate?
I'm doing fine, man. Doing fine.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Can't wait to talk about the Ethniki.
Absolutely. Steve, what's happening, bud?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, man. It's actually been a really decent international break for all of us, really.
For all of us, Greece and Cyprus, absolutely.
So far, anyway.
Yeah, knock on wood, yeah. Nico?
I'm good. Looking forward to dissecting the Moldova game.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so what we'll do, before we kick on with the Moldova game, we had the friendly match early this week. Cyprus versus Greece. Now, Greece got up 2-1, two early goals, second half goal by Cyprus, and a testy end. Steve, we'll let you go through this one, seeing as you fly the flags for both countries, mate.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was like the first good performance I've seen from both Greece and Cyprus for a while, and it just both teams linked up really well. Greece dominated the first half. They got that early goal, got the second goal, and it was nice to see Zolis and Galimakis get their first goals for the Ethniki. And then in the second half, Greece are doing an anti-Olympiagos by playing well in the first half and then the second half dropping off a bit. And Cyprus capitalised and scored, had a few chances to maybe equalise. Our goalkeeper, Dimitriou, was great. Our defence at times was dreadful for Cyprus. And it was just a good platform for them to go and beat Luxembourg in the next game, which was also a really good game from Cyprus.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the way I saw the game is we started off well, and once Cyprus got their goal, kind of just it was a bit of a meek finish for the Ethniki. Greg, how did you see it, mate, quickly?
Just a very promising first half where we saw a lot of good things coming from Limnios and Zolis especially. But I thought the second half was quite evident on the players that typify what we've seen from the Ethniki lately, just, you know, really good attacking plays, but we can't finish a goal or we can't put that killer shot on goal or the pass that needs to happen. Both us, for example, someone like that who I think fits in that category.
Yeah. Michael, anything or how did you see that game, mate?
We need to stick with the 4-3-3.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure what happened in that second half. He just brought on all these players at half, you know, in the second half, like Belkas, for example. I think he did the same job as Bakasetas and was just useless.
Yeah.
Something has to change.
All right, Antoni, Nico, we'll keep rolling through this one, mate. Now, that friendly led us, well, we scored a couple goals now, led us to the big game that we had today. We got up 2-0, two goals. A goal by a bomb, I should say. Not a goal, a bomb by Fortunis. And then the much maligned Capitano got himself a goal as well with a nice assist from Fortunis himself. Antoni, what do you think, mate?
I'm honestly happy and relieved. Thank God we got the 2-0 win.
Yep.
But honestly, I mean, a highlight for me was just how good Fortunis was and why he needs to be starting in the number 10 position, in my opinion, under JBS. Nico highlighted it perfectly. If Mandalos maybe wasn't injured, maybe Fortunis wouldn't have played, and who knows what would have happened.
Well, Nico, I mean, you said that, and I didn't really think much of it the other earlier today when you said it, but it's spot on, eh?
He's out with COVID, Mandalos.
Yeah.
With Bakakis. Honestly, Fortunis hasn't been playing at club level either. Honestly, I don't think he would have played. That's just my opinion anyway.
I brushed over it when you said it earlier today, and then when I thought about it, and you know, when you sit back and you think, you're like, he's probably right. Which, you know, begs the question, you know, what we saw what Fortunis can do.
That's got to be the best goal scored by an Ethniki player in recent years.
He pulls those shots. I mean, if I know you don't watch Olympia, of course, you know, but that's his trademark. He loves to get that space. You know, he shimmies, he opens up, and then he's got that fucking, he's got that shot on him. I shouldn't have sworn. My apologies. But yeah, there you go. I mean, Greg, how did you see it? How did you see it early on?
Look, I think it was great. Look, we started off. Look, we did start off a bit. We were a bit flat. Then we started to fall into a bit of a trap where we just couldn't get anything happening. But Fortuny showed why he's at the moment probably the best Greek attacking player that has to start for Greece 100% against Slovenia. But he has to be there, and he has to be in the middle. He's he does a lot more than what Bakasetas can do. I mean, their combination was great too, but that goal was fantastic. And another fantastic goal he scored was last year, I think, against Armenia, maybe, when he did that solo run and scored that way.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
He's someone who can score in a variety of ways, which we desperately need right now.
What did you think of Nico's comment, which is just an interesting one? As I said, the more I thought about it, like with regards to if we didn't have any COVID issues.
After the Cyprus game, I would have been surprised if Mandalos started and Fortunis wasn't there, because Fortunis, I think, made a bit of a statement there. He did a lot of things in that game which he doesn't normally do, which is what JVS looks for, to come back, defend, help the guys out, win the ball back. He did that in a huge amount in Cyprus, and he led the guys out there today as well in Moldova. So I think he did a big JVS about the other things. He can dig in and get some hard work done, which is why I think JVS has been a little bit hard on him on late. And, you know, Mandalos does track back as well, but the running and the shots and the passing that Fortunis has done in the last two games has to, you know, Spotify him somewhere up there.
Here's the thing, and I'll put it to the other guys as well, because he's a much maligned player, Fortunis, but I was making a point earlier today, and I got a bit clapped back by someone on Twitter. He's the type of player that you can't yell and scream at as a coach. I think the more you yell and scream at a guy like Fortunis and then put him on show by the media and saying, listen, he's not doing what I'm asking, whatever, you know, I expect ABC. I think he's the type of player that ends up going into his shell. Now, we can say he's 27, 28 years old. He's probably on $2 million a year. He's a captain of his club. He's at the peak of his career. But Ronaldo and Messi are like that, and they're earning 50 times what he's earning. So there's certain players that need a cuddle, and there's certain players that, you know, cope well with being yelled and screamed at and enjoy it. Antoni, what do you think of that?
I mean, yeah, I agree. I mean, I echo your sentiments. I think that he doesn't really like to be put on the spot. At least I'm not really sure with his situation at Olympiacos, but I think he kind of has his little dealings with Martins. And I think there's a special way that he needs to be dealt with. But I honestly want Fortunis in the Ethniki. He's personally one of my favorite players on the Ethniki, and I feel like he's a vital piece to our success. So hopefully JVS has his own, you know, personality traits and his personality clashes with players. So I'm hoping they can somehow figure it out, because, like I said, Fortunis is one of my favorite players, and I think that he'll be essential for us qualifying.
Yep. Steve?
Yeah, I mean, he's not like Bukalagis, who's definitely a confidence player for Tunis. Like, Bukalagis, just to quickly say, hasn't looked the same since the Porto game in the Champions League, I don't think. He's just fallen off a cliff. But
That's been his whole career.
It has been. But to go back onto Fortunis, like, yeah, I mean, it's been not so long since he's performed like that, but the way he took that game to his stride and just... He just took the Ethniki to the next level, and that goal was brilliant. And they set up for Bakasetas was great. Yeah, I mean, I said it on Twitter. I hope Pedro Martins watched this, because that was a brilliant performance. And just to quickly go on to Olympiacos, maybe he plays on the left. Maybe Valbuena stays at number 10. They keep switching from end to left wing. That could be something that he tries in the future. I mean, because we've all said Fortunis can't play on the left. Fortunis can't play on the right. If he switches play and cuts in the middle, that's something that Olympiacos could adopt potentially.
Michael, sticking with the first half, how did you see it, mate?
I've got to be honest, we started off slow.
Yeah.
And Fortunis on the left, I don't mind that, but I'd rather him behind the striker. Pavlidis looked lost out there today. I'm not sure what happened to him. I'm not sure what's going on with him in the Netherlands. He's just out of form.
Yeah.
And this was, I think this, I didn't mind him, Pavlidis, starting because maybe you have to save Jakub Mackis for the Slovenia game. And I think Pavlidis proved today that he's not the number one striker anymore. But Fortunis, however, as I said, I don't mind him on the left wing, but we need a natural winger such as Solis or Masuras. In my opinion, I would have started Solis for this game and give Masuras a run against Slovenia. Let's not waste our attacking midfielders on the wing, save them, conserve them, especially Bakasetas, who I thought today, I got to give it to him. He did a decent job.
Yeah, he played well. All credit to him. Yeah, we can't, you know, we give it when they deserve it. Nico, what do you think, man?
I was just going to say a couple of things. If Fortunis doesn't play, we could be talking about a goalless draw. One goal, one assist.
Yeah.
He saved us. He bailed us out.
Yeah, well, I mean, just to move on. Well, the first half, I mean, I thought the first half we played, we started slowly, but we built into it and we finished off quite strong. Came out in the second half. I actually thought in the second half, Moldova started playing a bit rough, and you could see that.
It got a bit edgy at the end.
Yeah, there was a bit of tension there. That's right, and then you saw early on. That's why I think the subs happened the way they happened to a certain extent. Maybe they would have stayed out longer there. But we'll go to Greg. How did you see the contrast between the first half and the second half, especially as the game went on?
It's hard to say. Look, probably once Fortunis came off, he changed the dynamic a little bit.
We lost our way, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say, Bukalakis, I thought, was particularly poor. I was absolutely stunned with some of the passes he was trying. His passing percentage must be incredibly low for that game, but he was pretty poor. Zeka, I think they just didn't get a lot of the part. Bukalakis tried. Zeka did a lot of the dirty work. And we didn't see those runs from Limnios that we normally see come through. But I thought Mavrias did all right. He combined quite well. He did a lot of those runs instead for Limnios. And then Pavlidis, I don't know. I've read a lot and heard a lot about Pavlidis, but my thoughts were, did he really get much service? Maybe I missed something, but I just didn't think he got enough service to put a big statement on him.
He didn't get enough service. It looked like he was just trying to get into a bit of interplay with the guys. I thought rather than just movement off the ball to try to create a bit of space. Yeah.
I will say one more thing, George.
Yeah,
I think
man.
Second half though, we saw that the typical Ethniki thing where we scored two goals. And for whatever reason, for the life of us, we cannot score a third goal.
Well, you said it last week. I hope Yakumakis doesn't come into the Ethniki and just forget how to score. And, you know, he scored in the game against Cyprus, all fair play to him. But today, two chances. You know, why try around the keeper? Place it, bud. Like, it was just, you know, 2-0 becomes 3-0. And, you know, we start to think, you know, things can go, and you see a player that's in such goal scoring form, and he gets into space with the keeper and just tries to take him on twice, and you're just like, man, come on, bud.
Yeah, even in the Cyprus game, Kadzi Yovanis, I thought, was actually going to open his account, and he did something similar. He missed the ball completely and let the keeper get it. Yeah. So Tsimikas, we've got a jinx.
Tsimikas, you know, should have squared it when he made that nice break. Nico, what'd you think? Second half,
look, we did have chances going forward, probably lacking a bit. The subs. Like Fortunis came off, and as you said, we lost our way. You know what gets me, though? Why on earth do we need two defensive midfielders to sit in against Moldova? Why not play one of Bukalakis and Zeka? We touched on how poor Bukalakis was. Why not play Bakasetas and Fortunis both centrally as number 10s? That's what really gets me. Why do we feel the need to have two sitters against Moldova?
Yeah, is he trying to maybe just that's his ultimate game plan? So he's trying to work potentially, you know, work that and make it better. Yeah. I don't know.
As for the striker situation, I think Yakumakis has to start in the next game.
I think he deserves it. Yeah,
Pavlidis, he never came close to scoring. He's only on one international goal since he's come in last year. Look, Yakumakis, yes, he should have scored at least one of the two chances that he had, but at least he's getting in those positions, and he offers us, just with his size, a bit of a threat up there. I can't really name you one thing that Pavlidis offers us at the moment. He's anonymous.
He was, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Giakoumakis has a bit of size on him, and he's a different player too, Pavlidis. So, I mean, that's a good shout.
At least he got in those positions. Hopefully
that's right,
another,
yeah.
On another day, you'd like to think he can finish one of those at minimum.
Yeah. Steve?
Well, just to answer Nigel's question, the reason why we had two defensive midfielders is because, you know, as JVS said, Moldova are a powerhouse. You know, those, you know, we didn't have those two holding mids. I'm sure we would have conceded four goals in the first half or something. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, you'd like to think, like you're saying, if you swap it around a bit and you just twist it a bit and you get one central defensive midfielder in, Zeka, like even with Bukayo, like he's out of form, just Zeka, you know what you're going to get from him. He'll always give you, at worst, he gives you a 6 out of 10. So he's always pretty solid. Change it up a bit, go for the kill. Michael?
Now, I'm continuing the sentiment of why starting two defensive midfielders. There's a reason for that. We don't have a box-to-box midfielder. That is a fact in this team. Galanopoulos, he's a big loss in this team. I would love to see him back. Have him, you know, track back and go up forward with his, you know, drive forward with an attack and run. The same with Vasiliadis. He's that type of player, box-to-box. That's what we're missing in the midfield.
Yeah. Good shout, actually. Yeah, no, it's a good shout, actually. And, you know, we touched on Vasiliadis the other day, so who knows? He's enjoying his
He's injured.
He's injured now, yeah. He's injured.
That's what I've been told. I've been told he's injured.
Long term, short term?
I assume it's a minor injury. Let's just hope it's not serious.
All right, we'll suss it out. We'll see what... Yep. Antoni?
Yeah, I was going to actually mention Galanopoulos as well, but he's still recovering from his injury, I think, right?
He's back.
He's only played 5 minutes, though, but he's going to slowly get back into it, and hopefully next year he'll be an option for Ethniki.
Okay, yeah, I feel like Galanopoulos would really be a big help for us because...
Let's see how the form he comes back to. He's been off for the good part of over, you know, 7 months, so it could take some time. He could hit the field running straight away, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Guys, how did you think Tsimikas went? The debate, Nico? Yeah. I mean, go on.
Yeah, I liked him. Honestly, I mean, I felt like he was doing pretty well going forward. Thank God. I mean, we have him and Yanulis. So that left back spot is pretty much, it's going to be a solid thing going for us going forward. But yeah, overall, I was impressed.
Yeah. Steve?
It's been great watching him again. It's been a while since we've seen him, and to have him play two games consecutively and just watch him bomb down the pitch and put in early crosses the way he did for Olympiakos, it was great. And, you know, like Andoni said, but I think for the Ethniki, both him and Yannis are interchangeable. They both do similar things, maybe some things better than each other. But yeah, it's great that we've got such a good depth at left back.
Yeah. Greg?
Look, as I thought, he came in and he played well, and he did exceptionally well. And then we've got Kyriakopoulos as well, which is another great player we've got. So we're stacked with talent at left back. It's great. We're in a great position there.
Yeah, we are. Michael, what do you want to add to that, mate?
Liverpool number one left back, Andrew Robertson. He's injured with a hamstring. This is going to be a good opportunity for Tsimikas to get some games for Liverpool.
Well, that would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought he did okay both games against the Cyprus and Moldova. I have no problem with him at all.
Yeah, look,
he's a great player to watch.
He's a great. It's probably one of the best headaches Van Schip has right now with position wise, with informed players and quality players down that side. If we move and we look around the side there, and we see how we kind of played in the first half and how we kind of played and kind of dropped in the second half. How do you think? I mean, I'm struggling to think what is needed. I mean, to get that elusive third goal, to go for the kill, to get the third goal and really bury a side. It just always seems that no matter how good we play, we always just meek out the result at the end. And a lot of people were saying, well, you know, I was trying to be positive watching the game and interacting on social media, and then you can say, well, it's Moldova and all that. And you're like, yeah, fair enough, it is. But Steve, how?
I think, not this game, but I just think in the past, Greece have been so confident in once they get a one, even a 1-0, let alone a 2-0, they're just so content to sit back because they know that defensively they'll be able to soak up the pressure, maybe try and get a third goal if necessary.
Yeah.
But I think Nigo's right. In this game, Greece did have opportunities to score a third. It just didn't seem like they could, weirdly. I think, and maybe it's down to the striker, you know.
We definitely had opportunities to put it. Yakumakis missed a couple ones. Tsimikas got himself a beautiful run, didn't square it.
Fortunis as well.
Fortunis, yeah. He made that break in there, yeah. I mean, okay, so when we look at that, we can't break a team there. And then we look at the formation. Now, the coaches are going to change the formation, but what do we do with a player like Bukalakis, for instance? How do we drop him? Yeah, okay, but for who?
Yeah.
I would look at even Mandalos as an option to Bukalakis. So Mandalos is someone who can pass a lot better. He can attack, he can create a lot great opportunities. Mandalos can also finish quite well. And I think even in the recent, like the last 20 years, even after Euro 04, where we've seen Greece, we've got, you know, we had some great results back then, and even in the years after that. But we've seen Greece play some abysmal football. But every so often, we see Greece play great, beautiful football, and it's usually when we play one defensive midfielder and someone that's half creative next to him, with a decent front four in front of them. And we saw that in the Cyprus first half. And I think with even for Slovenia, I even think if we have Zeka running in there himself, he could he can do the job. Then even have a Mandalos next to him, opening up the space a little bit better and give us a better opportunity to finish off some chances.
Yeah, look, Zeka looked from watching the game. It looked like he wasn't even breaking a sweat. You know, later in the match, he was still going in. From a few years ago, when I was like thinking, why did we choose him? You know, why did we pick him? It looks like he's getting better with age.
I told you so back then.
No, you did. It was yeah.
I was a minority back
you,
then.
You were, but he's almost like that, I don't know, Benjamin Button or whatever they call it, that person that just, you know, gets better as they get older, because he just looks amazing. Like, it just he keeps his game very simple. And
yeah. Simple, and just keeps things ticking.
Yeah, and just keeps things going and going.
That covers up, does the dirty work.
Yeah. Gets stuck in. Doesn't look like he's breaking a sweat.
One of them are going to have to play, whether it's going to be a Kurbelis, at least one of them have to play the next game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at it. They both played 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Zeka and Bukalakis.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you look at the subs, when you saw the type of subs that we did, Tsimikas, Fortunis, and Limnios, you can pretty much say with certainty, I think, that they'll probably start the next game. That's why I took them off. pardon me, Pavlidis. Yeah, don't know. I mean, you know, gave Yakumakis a good, you know, 15 minutes. He came on in the 79th minute, so he got 14, 15 minutes, including the injury time. So that's the interchangeable one. So if he played them for 90 minutes, what do we assume there, guys? Antoni, what do you think? Like, what do we assume? Let's make an assumption. Do they keep going?
Sorry, was it with Kurbelis and Zeka playing?
No. Do you think that by playing Bukalakis and Zeka for 90 minutes – in this game, do you think that they're just going to continue on and start again the following match?
You know, I mean, I could see Zeka perhaps starting again. Kurbelis, I think, was out because of cards, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we might see a Zeka-Kurbelis midfield lineup again. I mean, especially since Bukalakis didn't really have that much of a really good game. So, I mean, I'd say Zeka and Kurbelis starting in the midfield, maybe against Slovenia, even though it's not really good going forward, attacking-wise.
Yeah.
But you know what really sums us up? We had a corner there at the end. And we had a corner, you know, good position, obviously. The ball ends up at Vlachodimos' feet a few seconds later.
Yeah.
We spoke about it earlier today, the back half.
We did, yeah. I mean,
That could be a reason, what you were saying before, why we don't put teams away, just the lack of intensity.
It's the back passing, yeah. I mean, it's a very technical thing. But in layman's term, I think a lot of the time we try to push a from my perception anyway, and I could be completely wrong here, but I think that we go back and then we go back. So it allows the opposition to open up, because sooner or later they're going to open up and want to get the ball. And then we're hoping that one of the players is going to just get out and break out and try to intercept the ball, which then allows us to create a bit more space opening up. Now, are we good at it? Well, we played Moldova, because Moldova actually tried to play the same type of football, if you saw, and we kept shutting them down a lot. So, you know, we're probably C plus, you know, at it. Now, the better nations, I remember like Spain back in the day when they were, and France when they were unbeatable, they could kill you that, because they would go back and forward before you even knew what was going on. And they just pump a couple of balls sideways to each other and bang, they had torn teams apart.
Yeah, it fits into what JVS wants to do. He's often said, like, he's big on keeping possession, playing out with the centre backs. That's why Hadzidiakos is a big part.
Yeah, it's just, can we do it at a competent level against competent opposition? Now, coach, tactics, coach, Michael, speak to me. What do you think?
I saw nothing tactical in this game. I think it was just individual brilliance from Fortunis and other players as well, such as Tsimikas. Yeah. And surprisingly, I have to give Mavrias credit. I was a bit harsh on him today, but I have to say he did quite a decent job.
Yeah, Michael, bravo.
You know, I'm a big critic of Mavrias. I'm just not confident with him at all. He did okay.
He did good.
It's because Limnios was very quiet. I'm not sure what happened.
Look, you're well within your rights. I mean, he's not getting much game time at club level when he's come in. But as you said, credit where credit due. The guy came in, done a job. Yeah. Antoni, what have you got to say about the coach, mate? Tactics? Anything?
I agree with Michael there. I mean, tactically, I mean, it wasn't really anything masterful. I think it was just a Fortunis having one of those games and just really taking control and, you know, kind of making the difference with that goal and the assist. Mavrias, for me, I mean, I feel like he was solid. I didn't think he was too bad. Came in, did his job. But overall, that's pretty much Fortuny's master
coach. So nothing really inspiring by the coach's choices today. Steve?
Yeah, my sentiments with you guys, you know, I think not there's anything wrong with taking subs off to rest them for the next game, because that is important. But I felt like that's literally the only reason he did that, because the shape kind of started to fall apart a bit once a lot of the players he took off were subbed. And I don't know. I mean, it's just weird. It's weird. I think it's nice that he's actually played a right well. I mean, even Mavrias wasn't ever naturally a right back, but he's playing somebody who currently plays right back for his club when he plays at right back. So that's an improvement, I guess.
Well, that's right. Yeah. So at least we're going round pegs in round holes.
At least we're not playing centre backs or right back.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Now,
George, can I quickly say something?
Yeah, of course, man.
Because I think I might be a bit different to you guys. I don't agree with a lot of what you guys are saying in terms of the tactics. I think we saw some good tactical play come out of the wing-backs, helping out the guys on the left and the right. And we saw Mavrias, who a lot of question marks on him, be very effective with overlapping runs and putting in good crosses. And he put some of the better crosses in for the whole team did all game. If there's one area I'm going to criticise the team on, and even the coach, it's our corners. Our corners, we had, I don't know how many corners we had against Moldova, but you're going to find probably 90% of them did not make the first defender. We didn't get past the first defender. That was terrible.
Nine corners. Okay.
They were in the first 10, 15 minutes.
The exact same. And they were both ineffective. So but tactic wise, I don't think it's that bad. This team, and also someone mentioned that about intensity, one thing we've got to give credit to JVS. We can't just bag the goal all the time. JVS has got this team playing an intensity that we haven't seen on the Greek team for many, many years. And we're talking the Santos days. We're talking the Reha Gulleta years. In the 2004 before that and the years not long after that, we had intensity, but we've gone for a lot of years playing, especially these type of games and these smaller teams, without intensity. Let's not forget that. And we're seeing a team. We're now complaining that we're not putting three goals away, when in the past this game would be a complete bore that we'd win we'd win 1-0. So I think we got to give some credit there. And the subs, I think it's great that he's giving guys like Kyriakopoulos, Hadzigiovannis, Jolis, you know, even Yakumakis, giving these guys in there to get them in there, and Fundas as well. So I think we've got to give Jovia some credit for what he's doing.
Yeah, look, yeah, I'm critical of him, but today I can't be critical of the way the team's set up. I think the runs from Tsimikas are, you know, not really tactical stuff, because that's what he does. But you're right about Mavrias. He came in, he's pretty much fresh-faced within the team, and he's obviously been listening to the coach and did whatever the coach wanted him to do, because he had a decent game. So, look, credit where credit due. We can't always just, you know, just nail a person for that, but we can always be always be wanting for more. I mean, before the game, we would have taken a 1-0 own goal win. So, you know, yeah, that's just there. Yeah. Okay, big game coming up. What do you reckon? We'll carry on. Greg, you're on a roll there, man.
I would like to see, like the other guy said,
get in. So, Slovenia got up 2-1. They were down 1-0 and ended up getting a late winner, which didn't really change much. A loss would have been
very, very lucky penalty, by the way.
A loss would have worked for us, but a draw didn't really mean much. So a win for them still doesn't really mean much. So anyway, sorry, Greg, go on, mate.
Look, I think we'll see a pretty similar team to today, except I think we'll see, and I would like to see Yakumaki start. I think he's on fire right now, and his size and the way he plays actually makes him a bit more serviceable than Pavlidis. So that would be good. I think, look, whether we like it or not, Bakasetas will start. My concern is pretty much Gurbelis and Zeka. Even though, you know, I guess we're playing Moldova and Bukalakis had a pretty ordinary game, and I'd probably prefer Gurbelis over Bukalakis. But I do think our game suffers a little bit when Gurbelis and Zeka join that midfield together. So we're going to need a big game from Fortunis, Limnios, and Bakasetas is really going to have to step up as well. I would love to see Jolis out there, you know, potentially instead of Bakasetas, if he's going to play him on the left like he did today. That would be fantastic, because I think he just gets a bit more involved, and he's also got some pretty good finishing. So that would be good. But defensive-wise, I'm not too worried. I think we'll probably still see Tsimikas and Mavrias with, we probably see Tavelas. I don't know. We might see Gurbelis, who I think plays really well at centre back as well.
Oh, I can't say. I can see Tavelas and Hadzidiakos staying.
Yeah.
Antoni, what do you reckon, mate?
I'm hoping that I see Fortunis again in the starting lineup. I want to see Yakumakis as the striker, and I want to see Tolara playing on the left wing.
That's what it's all about. Beautiful.
He'll be the X factor for us.
Let's hope so, mate. Michael.
Can we stick with the 4-3-3? I'm sick of this 4-2-3-1. But if you want to stick with a 4-2-3-1, don't play Fortunis on the wing. I don't like him on the wing at all. He can do a job there, but I'd love him behind the striker. Have Fortunis behind Yakumakis, Limnios on the wing, Tolis on the left. And, we're going to see Kubelis and Zeka.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to predict.
We're going to see Bakasetas as well.
Yeah. Maybe.
I think we will. Yeah. But I agree with, you know, where we'd love Fortunis to play. But I think he actually played all right today, and I can see him continuing on. Steve.
Yeah, I think he'll be 4-3-3 in the same back line as we saw against Moldova. Bakasetas is a shoo-in because he's captain, which, you know, is fair enough, I guess. And if we're going to play Fortunis, he doesn't do... Again, he does a job at centre mid, but, I don't know. I would like to see him play centre attacking midfield, but, you know, like I said, I think we will play... and I don't know about the striker, actually, whether he'll trust Pavlidis or he'll try Yalomakis, but We'll see.
Nico?
I think we're not going to see much of a difference. So I'd love to see a 4-3-3. I think he's going to stick largely with the same sort of formation and lineups. Centre backs, I think, will be the same. I think Gurbelis will come in. The only really big point, I think, up for debate is going to be who starts up front, either Yakumakis or Pavlidis. It's going to, that's probably the only one up for grabs, the only spot. What I will say, though, because I think this game is going to hinge on if we have the ability to to break down a stubborn defense. I think they're gonna be prepared to sit in deep and give us a lot of the ball. Fortunis is gonna be key. If things aren't going to plan, let's say on the hour mark, he's got to be brave, maybe even play 4-4-2, just play two strikers, give him something different to think about.
I think we're not going to see much changes. I don't think we'll even see any changes, to be quite honest, from this lineup. I just, knowing the way Van Schip works, when something goes good, he generally wants to keep it that way. If it was up to me, I'd change the striker situation around a bit. Just that, you know, Jakomakis just adds a little something different to the game. What we need to, like Nicol was pointing out, we need to put JVS, I'm sure he will have different situations for different times in the game. If it's nil all, what do we do? Second
plan
half.
Plan B.
Is there a plan B? We need a plan C. We need up into a plan D. Because if we're pumping them, fantastic. How do we hold that? If we're pumping them for Greece is 2-0. You know, if it's nil all, if we're down 1-0, if we're down 2-0, you know, what do we need to do to get this in? Because we need to win. Steve.
You know what? From what Greg's saying, I will say that Van Schip does seem like he tries to implement a plan B at least. You know, the last few managers we've had, there was just plan A and that was it. Yeah. And there was just no change from when we were losing or when we couldn't get a goal. With John Van Schip, it does seem like he's trying to, like I said, implement a plan B into games. It's just something they may, for me, I don't feel like they've been executed great yet, but that just comes with time and with proper preparation and such.
Yeah. Look, as we said the other week, Greece does their magic always in the last game of these types of situations. So let's hope that we can see another masterclass there. All right, guys. Well, look, I think we've pretty much gone through everything with the game. You know, we'll look to have another podcast coming up after the Slovenia match, and hopefully it'll be a positive one and we're singing everyone's praises. Look, as I always say, keep in touch with us, Hellas Footy Pod. Shoot us some questions, shoot us whatever you just comments, whatever you need to ask, speak. You know, we'll happily try to get through them. We've actually got a few questions today, which is fantastic. So we'll run through them here. First one by George Soteropoulos, at @G_Sots. Give him a follow, guys. He's got a pretty sweet question here. How many times we have the ball in their end and end up passing it all the way back to Vlahov? And this is ridiculous, tap passing back and forth between the central defensive midfielders and the centre backs. Like, were they trying to get their passing stats up? I think, George, my opinion, and I could be completely wrong, whilst it does sometimes look like that, we're just looking at, you know, we're stat padding there, I think we're trying to break down a team, I think, you know, by getting them to open up so we can move the ball around. Greg, did you want to add to that?
That's exactly right, George. Yeah. When you're playing a team like Moldova, and even some of the other games we've played recently, we're playing teams where we're just attacking them the whole game. You need to sort of try to draw some of their players out to give then our wingers and our central midfielders some space to work on something. So that's why that's done and very consistently lately against the teams that we've played, the caliber of teams we're playing.
Yeah, so, but look, George, thanks, George Soteropoulos. Great question, man. I mean, and I see it a lot of times, and, you know, we can only speculate that that's what happens. But I think when you see teams like the better nations play it, that's how they do it. We're just not up to that standard yet, but we're building. On Instagram, Greg 999997. If Slovenia beats Greece, should John Van Schip be fired? Nicol, go for it.
Very good question.
What do you think?
It's a tough one. Look, I said back then to you, let's judge him after November.
Yep.
Personally, I don't think they'll sack him if we don't win, even though he's kind of failed, because he's often spoken about the World Cup.
Yeah.
I think they'll hold off and wait and see what happens with the World Cup qualifying. If they do go down the path of sacking him, they better have a better replacement lined up.
Mm.
And there's not really anyone out there.
Nah. Greg?
I don't think they will. And I say that because, okay, maybe we don't beat Slovenia. There's a huge program currently with happening with John Van Schip's team, you know, with Wright and Michael Balcanis as well. They're working with the younger teams as well. Yes, they're working on a program with the younger teams. And I still think we're seeing a brand of football that the Ethnic is playing, which we haven't seen in a long time. And I'm talking a long time. We're talking post, you know, Euro 2004 made us play a certain way for a long time. And we've finally seen a team play with young guys who have an attacking instinct, which I think is fantastic. So for me, having experienced all these years, even though we got some really good results and we had a lot of success, and you can't ignore the last 5 years of what's happened there and the type of football we've been playing. I've seen a lot of positives that I think are getting missed a little bit in the mix of it all. So I would really hope that he stays on.
Yeah. Michael, I've got this question here for you. I've got a question here for you, man, which kind of leads into the other one here by Yanni. Now, Yanni sent you this question. So did he want to be named on the pod or?
Shout out to Big Jono. Good to see him asking a question. Yeah, from North Carolina.
Shout out to Big Jono. This kid he's a superstar soccer player. So maybe one day we'll even see him
play. Was he 13 years old back then when we first came across him, and
his dream was to play for the Ethnic Ear. So good on him, man. And I hope he fulfills that dream. He only just finished high school, I think, recently. So
yeah, he did.
Yeah, but anyway,
also supports the same club as me.
There you go. You've found each other. all right. It's a bit of a loaded question, but it actually ties in with the other one. So if you're the Ethnic Your Mother coach, what will you be doing different from John Van Schip is doing right now? Player call-ups, formations, style of play. And what will it take for Greek football to change its routes? Basically, how will Greece change its infrastructure and implement a core style of from youth all the way up? How does this start? Where does this start? How long will it take? Now, well, Greg touched on that. And we read a bit that from, I think they're implementing something, structure from under 15s upwards. Yeah, from Aaron Winter and the team are implementing something from up there. So, I mean, Michael, loaded question. How would you answer that?
I'll answer the first one that he said about John Van Schip. I criticize his call-ups a lot. I don't criticize the style of play. I think it's fine. Nothing wrong with it. It's just the call-ups and player selections and the lineup that are just questionable. Like, for example, like I said, Mavrias calling up a bench warm-up for Omonia, but he's doing okay now.
Yeah.
And last international break, he played centre-backs at right-back instead of the only available right-back, Lazaros Rota, I criticize that as well heavily. Apart from the selections, the formations, that's just minor, I think. It's the style of play that I really like about John Van Schip. And going back to the previous question, don't sack him because we're back to square one. Second one was about going back with its roots.
Yeah.
Look, you got to have all these former players to run the game because right now, the people that are running the game in Greece, there's no hope.
Yeah.
That's just what I have to say.
Yeah. Nah. Go. Good. Perfectly said, mate. All right. We'll move on to the next question by Stephen at Stratos H9. Steve is an animal. He's a good guy to have a laugh with.
Your arch nemesis.
My arch nemesis. Yeah. So we're two Aussie Greeks. We love our rugby league and he follows a team that I can't stand. And vice versa. But anyway, he's a good guy. And it's more of a point here. Lack of intent and real killer instinct showed again against Moldova. Needs to start Fortunis against Slovenia, and he's the only one that looks capable. Antoni, what do you think of that statement? Really? It's not really a question, more of a comment.
Yeah, I agree with him on the Fortunis thing. Definitely needs to start in the next game because he's got some type of skill that he's able to bring forward more compared to the other players. As for the intent, the players are trying. I mean, Yakumakis, you know, he made that mistake at the end. He should have just slotted it home.
Yeah.
It's something with the Ethniki. I think Greg has said it before. When they put the Ethniki shirt on, they just can't find the back of the net.
Yeah.
it's like a mental battle, really, I think, with this team. They, you know, you guys have brought up great points. I mean, the style of play has changed under JBS. It's just that I think it's the pressure of the Ethniki. They just can't find the back of the net. And they need to start doing something.
Yeah.
To change it up.
Yeah. Look, I agree. Steve, good question, man. Manly's no good anyway. Anyway, we'll move on. That's just a little short jab to his rugby league side. All right. Second last question here from Timo at Baggers 2021. Would you start Pavlidis against Slovenia? Steve.
I don't think so.
So firstly, yes or no?
No.
Why?
Because even when he doesn't score, which hasn't been for a while, he doesn't bring much else to the team. He's not one of those strikers that I feel works in the build-up play to eventually lead to a goal attempt or make like a key pass or whatnot, you know. So I just think that we need to start Iago Magis because he scored against Cyprus. He looked fine when he came on, probably should have scored against Moldova. And yeah, I just think Pavlidis, he's out of form. I think one of the reasons why he was called up is because maybe I don't know who else we would have called up to be one of the striking options.
Yeah.
It's just a bit of a lump up front at the moment.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Well, I think he was making a bit of space and moving around off the ball today, from what I noticed. So, yeah, I don't think he's not getting himself involved. I just think he's not, you know, sometimes players, you know, figure out, like Yakumakis today, right place, right time, didn't put him away, but found himself in that position where I think right now Pavlidis isn't finding himself in the right place at the right time when opportunities arise. Now, is that could be a variety of things. So, yeah. Last one here. Thanks, Timo, by the way, for that question. He's a good guy, Timmy, so give him a follow as well. Mickey Skutas on Instagram. Where can we hear the podcast? Great question, Mickey. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, all the big players. You know, we've got all the emails saying you're on. So type in Hellas Footy Pod and you should be able to find us, guys. If you're having dramas trying to find us, please shoot us a DM. Our DMs are open on all our platforms, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please shoot us a DM and we'll look into it for you there. So, guys, we're about to wrap things up. What do you reckon? Good show.
Let's hope we're wrong, George, on our predictions against
Slovenia.
Yeah,
look, we'll, I didn't want to touch base. I won't touch on them today. We'll look at them after when the last game is done. But, guys, yeah. Look, great chatting again. Please follow the podcast, guys. Give us a shout, give us the questions. I'm more than happy to, you know, spread the love with the podcast. And, you know, we're trying things. If you've got any comments, if you've got any feedback, please shoot it through. If you're on Apple Podcasts, we'd love a 5-star review because it helps us be found more on there. And yeah, look, all the good stuff. Thanks, guys. Greg, Anthony, Michael, Stephen, Nico. Thanks, boys. We'll do it again soon, hopefully after a fantastic win.
Sounds good.
Yeah. See you, fellas. Yep. All right. Yeah. See you all. Bye-bye.